That's how songs come, though. Songs come from your imagination. You just gotta be quick. You gotta be quick to capture the moment.
That Gamblin' Huff sound is in my DNA. It's in my spirit.
The music of Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff is an American treasure. The Gamble and Huff catalog is so popular and expansive that Columbia Records once estimated their songs are played about every 13 and a half minutes somewhere in the world. This year marks the 50th anniversary for the legendary songwriting and producing duo, who created a brand of R&B known as The Sound of Philadelphia.
It's music born out of the struggles, the pain, the suffering, and the joys of Black folks in America.
Throughout the history of Black folks in this country, we're always pushing against limitations in our political life, social life, cultural life, and certainly in music.
So we're paying homage to the sweet soul music that Gamble and Huff made. And we'll look at some local artists who are continuing the legacy.
I think Philadelphia is a music mecca. The Sound of Philadelphia is still alive.
I'm Annette John Hall, host of WHYY's Real Black History, a year-long series that looks at the contributions of African Americans in our community. In 1979, President Jimmy Carter signed a decree officially designating June as Black Music Month.
The original idea for the establishment of June Black Music Month belonged to Kenny Gamble, one of the architects of the Sound of Philadelphia. We were a couple at that time. I think we had two kids at that point.
Deanna Williams, CEO of Influence Entertainment, is one of the founders of Black Music Month, along with Kenny Gamble and DJ Ed Wright. It was at a time when soul music was embedded in the culture. It was appropriated, but not celebrated as art.
It's a concentrated, focused month for us to be able to say, this is our music, it's from here, it's from people we grew up with, it's people we admire, it's music that has been born out of the struggles, the pain, the suffering, and the joys of Black folks in America.
The month was also an effort to draw attention to the massive economic contribution of Black music and entertainment. Today, music sales are still dominated by Black artists like Drake, Kendrick Lamar, The Weeknd, and Cardi B. And Black listeners are the largest user group for those sales.
Black music is a tremendous economic, viable economic force, as well as a cultural entity that we have to be proud of, indigenous to America.
The 70s and 80s was a heyday for Black soul music. As writers and producers, Gamble, a West Philadelphian, and Huff, from Camden, New Jersey, were at the top of their game, establishing Philadelphia International Records as an R&B powerhouse. And with Gamble's childhood friend, Tom Bell, they created iconic hits that would define the era.
They dominated the airwaves. They rose up to the top positions on the Billboard charts with their projects.
Their sound was heavy on love ballads, but they were also behind songs with lasting messages that resonated in the Black community. Patty Jackson, midday host at WDAS Radio, says Gamble and Huff modeled the example set by Motown's Marvin Gaye and his 1971 classic, What's Going On?
What's Going On is 50 years old. Marvin Gaye shook up the music industry with this album about protest and war and anthem, and it was a trickle-down effect.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying.
What Philly International Records did, they picked it up and took it even higher. to a whole nother level, to really deal with the issues that were going on, not only around the world, but what was going on in our communities.
It's hard to think of a Black R&B artist that Gamble and Huff didn't work with.
They were very prodigious in the 70s and 80s. The OJs, Love Train. The Stylistics, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes featuring Teddy Pendergrass. And then Teddy Pendergrass went out on his own. Turn off the lights. Light a candle. There was McFadden and Whitehead, Ain't No Stopping Us Now. Patti LaBelle, Love and Need and Want You, If Only You Knew. Phyllis Hyman, Lou Rawls, his career was revitalized with Gamble and Huff, Gene Karn. Now that you know how I feel about you. Don't Let It Go to Your Head. Don't let it go to your head, no. The Jonas Girls, You're Gonna Make Me Love Somebody Else. You're gonna make me love somebody else. You keep on treating me the way you do. Classic songs written in the 70s and 80s.
What elevated the songs were the lush arrangements. Gamble and Huff enlisted musicians from the Philadelphia Orchestra to play on recording sessions, and that trademarked sound became known as TSOP, the Sound of Philadelphia. It even spawned an in-house orchestra called Mother, Father, Sister, Brother, or MFSB, that racked up hits of its own, including the theme from the long-running dance show, Soul Train.
And now, here's your host, Don Cornelius.
Hey there, and welcome aboard. You're right on time for another magnificent journey on the Soul Train.
One of the best examples of intricate arrangements is the unforgettable Me and Mrs. Jones. It was a love song for the ages.
Yes, Billy Paul. It was like an instant classic. A song about infidelity.
Me and Mrs. Jones.
It was a gold album, platinum single, and singer Billy Paul won a Grammy for the performance. While they had had a string of hits, the song is iconic for its elegant arrangement.
We both know that it's wrong.
Over the top longing. And Paul's swoon-invoking vocals. In a 2008 interview with Fresh Air, Leon Huff and Kenny Gamble talked about writing Me and Mrs. Jones.
Well, me and Huff used to go to a little bar downstairs from the Schubert Building. That's when we were in the Schubert Building. We used to go down there every day and talk to the barmaid. And this guy used to come into the bar every day. Little guy looked like a judge or something like that, right? So, you know, we're watching everything. Everything we're doing, we're thinking about a song. Yes. So we see this guy come in there. We said, okay. Then the next day he come in there again. But when he come in there every day, this girl would come in maybe 10, 15 minutes after he get there. They sit in the same booth, go to the jukebox, play the same songs every day. So me and Huff, we said, oh, that's me and Mrs. Jones or whatever the name we was going to call it. And then when they get ready to leave, he would go his way, she would go hers.
But it's much too strong to let it go now.
They had this string of hits with men and women, very like-minded, who were great singers, wonderful entertainers, and engaged in a compelling way with the music that was created out of Philadelphia International Records throughout the 70s and 80s.
I grew up in Philly and I was born in the 80s. My parents, that was very much the music of their young adulthood.
John Morrison is a writer, producer, DJ, and host and creator of Culture Cypher Radio at WXPN. Like most African American millennials, especially the ones who came of age here, the sound of Philadelphia is a part of him.
I have vivid memories of, you know, we would go to my grandmom's house in North Philly in the summer, and, you know, folks would be cooking out and there'd be a DJ playing and people dancing, people bopping, stuff like that. And all of those records got played. And I remember very vividly being young at the end of the day, you know, the sun is down and we're riding back to our house. And I'm, you know, laying in the back of my dad's car. My mom and dad are up front and they're playing the radio. And all of those Philly International tunes, you know, Teddy, the OJs, all of that stuff would be playing.
Ashley Scott, an international recording artist, music consultant, and founder of the music company Soulful Sounds, is another Philadelphian who felt the connection to TSOP. But in Scott's case, the bond is personal.
I was blessed to have a family member that was a part of the Sound of Philadelphia. My aunt is a original and long-term member of the group known as the Three Degrees. Her name is Helen Scott. My mother actually grew up on the same block as the Delphonics, so they're like extended uncles.
Along with the Three Degrees, the Delphonics, and Billy Paul, at the time there was a critical mass of Philadelphia artists who helped create TSOP. Fast forward about 20 years, a group of local creatives made a name for themselves by fashioning a new sound of Philadelphia, one born out of underground music showcases and poetry slams, seasoned with Gamble and Huff influences, neo-soul.
And they created a much newer sound. Artists like the Jazzy Fat Nasties, Jill Scott, Music Soul Child, Flowetry, Kendrick the Family Soul, Bilal, Carol Riddick.
You're here. I'm pleased, I really dig your company.
It was definitely modernized because that sound became a whole new sound of soul music in the new millennium.
Lord, have mercy on me, I was blind, now I can see.
It still had the lush arrangements, you still had strings, you still had horns, but it was updated with a more hip-hop flavor to it. So it was definitely modernized, and that's still music from this city.
Me and Mrs. Jones, we've got a thing going on. I'm Tyler J, and I'm a neo-soul R&B artist, and I love making music from the soul.
Tyler J may be only 31. But she's an old soul musically. Her singing idols include jazz greats Sarah Vaughan and Billie Holiday. As a kid, she dug into her mother's stash of Gamble and Huff music, but she developed her voice in the church.
It's interesting how I began to consider myself a singer. I was born in West Philadelphia, and I grew up in the church. As soon as I could stand up, I was in the choir. When I went to college, I was a psychology major, and I ran into a lot of music majors who heard me in choir and said, "Oh, Tyler, you know, are you a music major? Did you come here for music?" And I said, "No." And they said, "Oh, you should be a music major." And so I changed my major to music because I wanted to be a teacher. My transition really went from just me having a love for music to me saying, oh, I can actually do this. I can actually consider myself a singer.
With her deeply soulful voice, you can almost imagine Tyler being part of that legendary list of Philadelphia vocalists like Patti LaBelle and Phyllis Hyman. But for her own music making, Tyler takes most of her cues from neo-soul singers like Jill Scott and Music Soul Child.
Love, there's so many things I've got to tell you, but I'm afraid I don't know how.
For sure, she's in the right place to carry on the tradition, but it hasn't necessarily been the right time.
My music came out in 2020. It came out in January 2020, right before everything closed down and right before I had the opportunity to even go out and network and say, hey, this is who I am and let me do this.
But being shut down by COVID didn't stop her. When we come back, we'll see how Philly Soul is changing with the times. This is Real Black History. You're listening to Real Black History. I'm Annette John Hall. How we experience music has changed in almost every conceivable way from when Gamble and Huff were in their prime. R&B has evolved, and so has the way we listen to and consume music.
Now the attention span of people has gone a lot slimmer than it has been.
Again, Ashley Scott.
So now with radio and releasing music, you're lucky if you get 4 weeks on air, unless you're someone, you know, that has a major deal or a huge financial backing to make that happen. So now singles are what people are releasing, and they're doing it a lot more frequently now than they used to. For me as an artist, I'm only doing singles right now because I want every song to be heard and every song to count.
That doesn't mean soul music isn't important. It just means it's evolving with the times.
The internet has exploded genre boundaries and boundaries of community and space.
John Morrison.
So we live in a new world. I wouldn't say that Philly has a musical community that is exactly like the communities of the past, but there's definitely a scene. There's definitely young people who are creating soul music in this city. So yeah, that heart and that feeling and people coming out of the city making good songs that people can sing and relate to and feel deeply, that definitely still happens here.
Black music has always carried messages of love, hope, and empowerment. It represents an act of resistance.
Throughout the history of Black folks in this country, we're always pushing against limitations. And when you think about Black popular music in the 40s, 50s, 60s, there was this sentiment that our music was lower, you know, that our music was not as elegant as other people's music. We know that to be a lie, and we know that that's not true. But yeah, I think that they're especially in, you know, the Sound of Philadelphia and, you know, Motown itself and in other Black musical communities, there's always this sense that, you know, we have to do something better or something different, or we have to, you know, challenge these limitations that are put on our music from outsiders.
Big things are underway to commemorate Gamble and Huff's 50th anniversary. The Best of Philadelphia International Records, a 12-track compilation featuring classic hits, has already been released digitally and on vinyl. There's also a series of limited edition 8-CD sets slated to be released throughout the year. There will probably never be another Gamble and Huff. Kenny Gamble remembers thinking that as he and Leon Huff were making history with hit after hit, it was a magical time. But he also knew it would come to an end.
I mean, even now, I'm happy. You know, I mean, I'm thankful for what we had. I'm glad for what we had. But, you know, it's like I always had a perspective in my mind. I said, I know this is not going to last. Nothing lasts forever. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, if you talk about that all the time, so, you know, it ain't going to last forever. So let's get the juice out of it now, whatever we can get. You know, let's mm-hmm. keep writing or whatever the case might be. Because, I mean, every song we were writing was becoming a smash. So, I mean, how long do you think that's going to last? I mean, mm-hmm. you're taking that kind of energy out of you. So,
you know, when I hear those Gamble and Huff songs or, you know, the Tom Bell arrangements with the strings and the brass, it feels very much Black and optimistic and joyful. It's music that was created through adversity, the adversity of being Black in America, but also something that transcended the challenges that we face. I don't know, it's music that feels like it's reaching for like a greater ideal or something higher. Philly International was a beautiful, remarkable movement.
With promising young artists like Tyler J carrying on the legacy, the Sound of Philadelphia is in good hands.
I think about all of the talent that's come from Philadelphia, all of the great artists that come from this city, and just how empowering that is. It's definitely empowering. There's a lot in my music that I put about my past. I don't see a way out. I could search, but I've already tried. It's about things I've experienced and gone through.
I did it your way, and you said that you'd pay, but you lied.
And it's really like I'm still here.
Every time I see a door, I'm afraid to walk outside. Because when it's
And this is how I'm got here. This is how I keep going. This is how I stay motivated. This is how I stay inspired. So since my music is like that, you know, I really feel that it's more about the resilience of getting through the story.
And one day the world will remember my name, my name, my name.
Surrounded I see it as an act of resilience.
And one day the world will remember my name, my name, my name.
That's Tyler J singing her original song, Corners. Real Black History is produced by Jeanette Woods. We had editing help from Katie Colinari, Melanie Roy, and John Muselmi. The interview with Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff was provided courtesy of the Fresh Air Archives. You can find the full interview at freshairarchive.org. Our engineer was Mike Billers. Sandra Clark is Vice President of News and Civic Dialogue. I'm Annette John Hall. Thanks for listening.
What they do, they smile in your face.
All the time they want to take your place, the backstabbers.